The reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, which is on page 1210 of the Church Bibles. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Lovely. Thank you, Ellen. And we're going to be thinking a bit more about those verses after Jonathan's taken us through a time of worship. If you do have your Bibles, then do turn with us to that passage in Hebrews 12, 1-3. And we're going to look at it in two halves, and we're going to do it a little bit backwards this morning. We're going to start with verses 2 and 3, and then move back to look at verse 1. So verses 2 and 3, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the throne of God, and consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We don't want you growing weary and losing heart. The verse, or the word, that comes out in both verses 2 and in verse 3 is that of endurance. That's a popular word, isn't it? Endurance. Enduring. Keeping on, keeping on. Enduring. I wonder what endurance is. I wonder what it looks like. Well, I thought I could talk to you about what endurance is, but it might be more helpful to give you a little example of what it might look like. And so we'll do a little experiment together, if that's okay, this morning to start off. First of all, I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. Angela, you see, I nailed you before, didn't I, there? Fiona, could I borrow you, actually? I promise you're not going to have to do anything too traumatic. Note the stress there was too traumatic. Paul, come on down as well. There we go. Just stay there, Fiona. That's fine. Paul, you want to come around there? That's good. And have a nice smile at the lovely people out there. That's great. Now then, I've brought with me this morning two virtually identical water containers. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a little test of endurance. Fiona, I hope you're feeling strong this morning. What you're going to have to do here is this Swiss water container. You're going to hold it out in front of you like that. Okay, we don't want this. This is no good at all. We want the strength of endurance holding out. Okay, there we go. So you've got to hold it by the handle. No, there we go. That's good. Okay. If you want to have a rest before we start the competition,
okay.
That's fine.
I wouldn't want
you to be tired out too soon. There we go. And here's another virtually identical water container. Here you go, Paul. Yeah. So same rules apply, really. Just hold it in your hands and then hold it out in front of you when we're ready. And we'll have a little test of what endurance is. So if you want to adopt your starting positions. One, two, three, go. There we go. And so endurance. I wonder what we think of when we think about endurance. That sense of keep on keeping on. That strength of having to dig in. There's a saying we have, don't we? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's the sort of thing that you might be thinking of when we think about endurance. That actually it's a time to be getting really tough and to be digging in really firmly. There. How's it going there, Fiona? You all right? How are you feeling there, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be all right. So endurance, yes, it's a difficult word, a hard one to spell, but it is something about remaining strong. It's something about gritting your teeth, smiling through it, not giving up. Let me just remind myself, what did the Bible have to say about so that you will not grow weary and lose heart? Fiona, how are you doing on the growing weary or losing heart front?
I'm fine.
You're fine at the moment. That's going well. Paul, I'm just feeling I've probably undercooked this a little bit. I'm quite impressed, to be honest. Yeah. Paul, let's... Behind the scenes, I can only pad here for so long. Wonderful. Well done. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you both. That's great. Take yourselves a seat. For those perhaps on the stream who couldn't see, I think it was fairly obvious that Paul's container was identical in size, but perhaps not quite so identical in terms of weight. When life gets tough, what do? I've scanned through my Bible, I mentioned this earlier, and I'm yet to find that verse. I think it's probably there somewhere in about Proverbs 93 or something, that says, when you become a Christian or give your life to Jesus, life will be straightforward and easy. I've talked to a few other people more knowledgeable than me, and they haven't found that verse either yet. I think our life experience tells us that life at times can be hard, that life as Christians is difficult. We've a lot to be thankful for this morning, actually. The fact that we are here this morning, that we are free to worship, the fact that most of us are probably going to go home and have some lunch and then sleep in a fairly comfy bed in our house. There are many places in the world where being a Christian, none of those things would be possible. We support Barnabas Fund as a church, who do great work with supporting persecuted Christians, who will tell you that sometimes they can get not just discriminated against, lack of jobs, but imprisoned and beaten up and all those sort of things simply because of their faith. Being a Christian at times can be difficult. But how do we respond when those difficult times come? Well, in a sense, the example was given with Jesus in the verses that we read there. Jesus, of course, himself, the ultimate one who endured going through that, the humiliation and going through the cross, that sense of God not being with him, but scorned its shame. He endured the cross and he endured the opposition of sinful men. Why? Because of the joy set before him. And in a sense, I hope that's a hope for us too, because of what lies ahead, because of the hope we have in our hearts, because of the faith that we have. That actually, when things get difficult, it's not a time to give up and to fly, but it's a time to dig in. Now, I'd be pleased to know that when things get hard, we don't need the physical endurance like the real hardcore that Fiona showed, as opposed to the kind of lightweights like Paul. What we have is God's promise that we will not be tested beyond what we are able to endure. The Bible promises that for each of us, we will not be tested beyond what we can endure. And some people are able to endure considerable amounts, some of us a little more fragile. But we have that promise from God that we will not be tested beyond what we can endure. And secondly, that God stands there in the midst with us, and that he is with us through those times of testing. And I hope that you'll find, and I've certainly found in my life, that that's a great comfort. That yes, as Christians, we know difficult times will come, hard times will come. There will be sometimes opposition. Sometimes things don't go well as we planned. What do we do at that point? Do we just throw our hands up and walk away? I hope not, because Jesus has set us the example of endurance, of keep on keeping on, of saying, actually, when it gets tough, that's the time to dig in, knowing that God is there with us, and knowing that he will not let us be tested beyond what we can endure. And there is great comfort in that. So endurance, that sense of it's the long haul and difficulties will come, but we're not going to quit, we're not going to give up, we're going to sort of set our face in the direction that we're going, and we will keep going. Verses 2 and 3. I want to move on a little bit and just think about verse 1, where it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I was wondering, I saw that bit about running a race. I wondered this morning if we had anybody who was any good at running. Is anybody very fast? Have we got any good runners in our mix? Anyone? Oh, I've seen a hand. Can you want to come out? Joshua, you a good runner? Brilliant. Come on, then, mate. Okay. Wow, you do look like a fast runner, actually. What we're going to do, I've got the race marked out for us. What we're going to do, what you're going to do, You're going to run down the corridor here, the little there, out through the door, run around the back, and then down to the front. That's a pretty long way, isn't it? Do you think you're up for that? Okay, that's good. You've done that a few times. Yeah, I'm a little worried for you, actually, Joshua, if I'm honest about it, because I'm not sure how flat and even the carpet is around the back. And we've got the doors open at the back, and I mean, it may look a little bit sunny, but there's a pretty cold wind blowing out there, and I'm not sure you're quite dressed to be able to do that race for me. So I've brought some things that I think will probably help you. Is that okay? Excellent. Good. We might need Dad's help a little bit, but we'll see how we go there. First of all, I think those trainers that you've got on there, are you able to just slip those off for me, Joshua? Just able to slip your trainers off? There we go, thank you. I think you'd find you're going to be much more secure and safe with a pair of these on, okay? Here we go. Right, there we go. Shall we just pop that in there? Do you think you can pop your foot in there? Excellent, there we go. There we go. Don't worry about the health and safety. And there's another one. There we go. I tell you what, actually, just while I'm talking, I've just because the laces might be a bit of a disaster. Jonathan, do you think you could do anything about the laces down there? Is that okay? Thank you very much. Don't come to church while I'm leading. I just put you to work. It's a disaster, isn't it? So we've got some boots that we think will be better that, you know, to deal with the ruffles and tumbles of the outer carpet layer. But we also need to be concerned that little cold wind that's blowing out there, and I would hate to think Joshua is going to catch a chill, especially when he's got to be back in school tomorrow. We wouldn't want anything to be putting him off there. So good news for you, Joshua. I've brought a little coat that might just keep you a little bit warmer, okay, on your there. So can we just put our hand in there and do it in there? Oh, while you're down there, Jonathan, doing such sterling work. I might ask if you can do a bit of zipping up as well. Is that okay? Fantastic. Here we go. Oh, is it stuck? Don't worry. Even if it's just on like that, that's fine. We'll. Oh, there we go. Look at this. Excellent. Right, now, Joshua, I'm just going to lift you down to the bottom stair because there's a level of disaster I'm prepared to tolerate. But there we go. Now then, I'm going to set my watch, Joshua, just say, and see how long it takes you to do that run. Are you feeling good about this? Feeling confident? Okay, so let's count down. Should we do a countdown from three? Three, two, one, go. Okay, Joshua, for those who perhaps won't be seeing us on camera, Joshua's doing a great job. He's made it around the back, and he's propelling the rather oversized coat. Forget himself that, but he's made it back here. There we go. Fantastic. Well done, Joshua. Great. There we go. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes. That was a very good time. Joshua, do you think that was the fastest time that you could set?
Nope.
Do you think you can go faster than that?
Nope.
You don't think you can go
faster?
Not in these. No. Ah. Okay. So, is there something we need to do to enable you to go faster? What do we need to do?
Shoes back on and take this off.
Okay, well let's have a go then, shall we? Let's do that. Let me quickly pull off. We don't even need to undo the lace. They're just coming straight off. Okay, there you go, Joshua. And you pop those back on while I'm getting rid of this. Thank you, Hilary. Okay, we're getting one foot in, and the other foot's coming in any moment now. And I think this is going to be like my last sort of few hundred yards of the marathon. We are going to cheer him round, okay, at his record time. Okay, right, same starting position you're in, Joshua. Three, two, one, go! Oh! Fantastic, Joshua. That was absolutely brilliant. There we go. Excellent. Head back down there. Now then, when you're doing a race like that, that was, I'm going to say it was at least three times quicker, being able to do it without those heavy walking boots and that oversized coat. What was that all about? Well, what does the Bible say? Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders. For Joshua doing a shortish race like that, a short sprint, actually heavy walking boots and huge coats, they're a hindrance. They're not a help. They're getting in the way. He said it himself. I'm not going to go any faster while I'm wearing this stuff. I need to get rid of it so that I'm free to run. That might, for some of us, recall the story of David and Goliath. And if we know the story, David himself went out to see the Philistine, see the army taking on the Philistines, and Goliath shouting challenges. David was amazed that no one was prepared to take on the challenge. And David said, well, I'll do it. Put his hand forward. And the others looked at him and thought, well, if you're going to go and take on a giant like Goliath, what you're going to need, David, is the armor of Saul. And they tried to put Saul's armor on him. And poor little David, probably a little bit bigger than Joshua, but not much, was thinking, I can't do anything dressed like this. I've got no movement. I'm stuck where I am. I need to get rid of the stuff that hinders, the stuff that gets in the way, because that's going to hold me back. And we're going to think a little bit about, well, what does that mean for us? Let us get rid of let us throw off everything that hinders. It doesn't necessarily mean let us throw off everything. The race that we did is a short sprint. And if you were doing a race like that, then yep, trainers, t-shirt, shorts, absolutely fine. But I think most of us would say that actually our Christian life, our Christian journey, our Christian walk, our Christian race, is not a sprint. It's more like one of those sort of ultra Ironmans or ultra marathons, one of those fell running things where they do things for sort of 36 hours and go through bogs and over hills and the rest of it in terms of surviving. And when you're doing a race like that, the Bible isn't saying you get rid of everything. It's saying throw off everything that hinders. Now then, I've brought with me a kind of a rucksack for the journey. And there are some things in here that I think are probably quite helpful for us, that we don't want to be throwing off, that we don't want to get entangled. Oh. First one up here, I've got my, no expense spared, Wimbledon water bottle. When you're going out on a good run, you certainly need to have some water, some refreshment to keep you going. Water, good for the body, but Jesus, of course, talks himself about being the living water as well. And having Jesus with us as we journey is clearly the heart and soul of walking that Christian lifestyle. So water is got there. Sorry, you don't want to be looking at a plastic bag, do you? Get rid of that. I've got some other things in here that are probably quite useful for one of those long distance races or fell adventures. Let me go and do some lucky dipping. Who'd like to pick something out of my bag? I'm going to come over here. Do you want to pull something out of my bag? There we go. Go on. Wonderful. Thank you. I've got my waterproof with me. I was brought up in the Lake District. Virtually a birth present, getting one of these. When you're out on doing a long distance adventure, then you do need to have your waterproofs with you. We wouldn't want to get rid of this. And the same way as a Christian adventure, we might be saying, actually, our prayer life is something that we always need to take with us on our adventure. This isn't something that's going to hinder us. This isn't something that's going to entangle us. This is something we need to keep with us as we go on our Christian life. So we have our water with Jesus. We have our prayer. I wonder what else we've got in here. Let me go and find somebody else who might like to do a bit of a lucky dip. Have we got someone here who's quite up for a lucky dip? Do you want to stick your hand in and see what you can find? Okay, what have you got there? Something quite big. Whoa, there we go. Wonderful, thank you. I've got here, slightly probably oversized, but you never know on a mountain, I've got my first aid kit. Not something that hinders, not something that gets in the way, something we need for our walk. And getting together, I put church, but fellowship, meeting together, the encouragement of being with other Christians. Remember the verse there? It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, The fact that we're able to be encouraged and supported by one another. Church and fellowship, that's not something that hinders, that's not something that gets in the way, that entangles us. That's something we need for our journey. I've got one more. Let's see, Emma, can you stick your hand in there? Let's see what you can find. Do you want to put your hand in and see if you can find something? You're going to have to go down a long way. Shall I help you? Okay, have you got it? Can you pull it out? Wonderful, thank you. We've got some food for the journey. You don't want to be getting hungry when you're out on your adventures. And I put that around, I put like the Bible, our food and drink. We need to be having God's word in us on a regular basis, because that's what's going to sustain us on our race that's been marked out for us. So we've got the water, the prayer from over there. So these are important things that we do want to take with us. Remember, the Bible doesn't say get rid of everything. It's saying get rid of the things that so easily entangle, those things that hinder us. I've got one more thing that's in here. Corinne, can you do the honours for me? We'll spend a bit of time thinking on this one. Dig deep. There we go. Lovely. Thank you. Whoa. Now then, when we go out, we can pack all those things we need. But sometimes it's very easy to pack stuff that we don't need, that's going to slow us down. Who would pack a brick to go on their walk? But actually, sometimes as Christians, we do. We pack stuff that isn't going to do us any good and that is going to entangle us and hinder us and slow us down. I've put a few things on my brick. They're not exhaustive. You may have other things that are the things that are on your brick in your rucksack. But these are things that are reasonably common that people can pack with them that don't help. I've put that self-worth is the first thing I've got on my brick. Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't think I could. I'm any use to Jesus. I'm rubbish. I'm not good enough as who I am. Why would I be any good at doing any of that? And we can begin to put ourselves down in a way that God doesn't. God loves us. God created us. God says you're great. God says you're made in my image. Don't put yourself down. But I think we all know people, and maybe ourselves, who put ourselves down and say, well, I'm not good enough. I couldn't do that. Similarly to that and related, we have this one. Self-doubt. Oh, I don't think I could do that. Oh, I don't think I could. Yeah, no, I haven't got the skills for that. I don't think I'm up for that. No, it's going to be, looks a little tricky. Not sure that I'm the one for that. Probably others that might be able to do it. And we just sort of talk ourselves out of doing things because we doubt ourselves. Those two quite closely related. God says, I'm with you. I'm giving you what you need. Don't put yourself down. Don't doubt yourself. If I believe in you, believe in yourself. Trust yourself. If I do, then you can do that yourself. So self-worth and self-doubt, two of those things that can hinder us, that can entangle us. Not the sins, we've talked about those on other days, but these are things that can just entangle and slow us down. My next one, I put on this side of the brick here, is worry. And I remember Martin doing a really good talk on about worry, and he described worry or anxiety. For some people, it's a bit like being, he said, in a rocking chair. That actually there's a bit of comfort. Some of us quite like being worried or anxious about things, but actually in a rocking chair, you can rock all you like, it doesn't get you anywhere. And worry can be the same. It can be, that could go wrong, or this could happen, or that might be the outcome, or what if that happens, or what if that doesn't happen, or what if? And we allow worry or anxiety to stop us getting out and running the race that God's marked out for us. And the fourth and last one that I've put on my brick is this one here, guilt, which is, the stuff I've done, if only they knew about me, if only they could see what I was like, if only they knew what I'd said, if only they knew, God wouldn't be interested and nobody else would either. And often this is stuff we've talked to God about, and God has dealt with it and done away with it. And God says, I've forgiven and I've forgotten. And actually the hard bit is not getting God to forgive or forget, it's getting ourselves to forgive and forget. that this stuff can stay with us. And again, it drags us down. It's an unnecessary weight. This brick, which I've just put these four things on, and again, I'd encourage you to say to yourself, what are the things I put on my brick? It may be one of these four. It may be other things. What are the things that I'm putting on my brick that go in my rucksack, if you like, that on my walk is hindering me and is slowing me down and entangling me and dragging me away from that race that God has marked out for us? Yes, there will be tough times on it. We know that through the endurance. And God is going to ask us to persevere. He will be there with us as we journey. But don't be burdened and held back by stuff that you don't need to have in your rucksack. Get rid of the stuff you don't need and take with you the stuff that you do need. That's what this is all about. Keep on keeping on. And to do that, take the stuff you need and get rid of the stuff you don't need and follow Jesus' example of running the race and enduring and keep on keeping going. Put that down there. I think actually before, I'm going to ask Carrie to tell a story in a few minutes. Before that, I want to help us to try and remember that in a particular way. And I'm going to do it with this. So, I brought with me 2 lettuces. The first lettuce, and I'm going to do this side of the church first, is let us throw off everything that hinders. Okay? Let us throw off everything that hinders. 1, 2, 3. Let us throw off everything that hinders. My second lettuce is on this side, is let us run the race with perseverance. Are we ready? Let us run the race with perseverance. 1, 2, 3. Let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run the race with perseverance. And together we're going to say Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Okay, let's go one more time. Let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run the race with perseverance. Hebrews 12:1. Now, I don't know if you're up for this, but I can see Emma looking, thinking, no. We're going to switch over, okay? So we're going to let us throw off everything that hinders, and we're going to let us run the race with perseverance. Here we go. Let us throw off everything that hinders, and let us run the race with perseverance. Hebrews 12:1. And that's what we want to do. Let's remember that. I'm going to invite Carrie to come forward. Carrie, we're thinking about keep on keeping on, endurance, perseverance, following the path and racing on. You've got a little story you want to share with us, so please take it away.
So I've got a little... Oh, they are in the wrong order.
Oh, we tried.
So I've got a little story about a trek I went on in India a few years ago. It's a 7-day trek in the northeast of India in an area called Sikkim. And this is me and my friend Liz at the start, looking all fresh and cheerful. And the aim of this trek is to reach the Goichala Pass, which is the main viewpoint for Kanchenjunga, which is the third highest mountain in the world. You can see it's sort of roughish terrain down here at the bottom, and these are some of the local porters. This is one of the campsites on the route, so you kind of get the idea for what it was like. And gradually we're going up and up, and as lots of you will know, you can start to feel unwell with the altitude once you get past a certain height. And my friend Liz did become unwell. She became breathless, was really struggling to walk, couldn't eat, felt ill. So she made it up to the last camp before you go up to the pass, but she wasn't able to continue. So it was just myself and the guide in the end that went up to the pass. So he woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. I had a cup of tea and a biscuit. And then we set off up to the pass. And this is one of the views from the top of the mountain range up there. Really absolutely spectacular at sunrise. And that's me, just to prove that I was there. So spent some time at the top taking photos, etc. And then it was time to descend back down to the camp where Liz was. That's Liz just viewing from below. So I had a second breakfast, and then we packed up and we set off down to the lower camp, and we got there probably mid-afternoon time. But Liz was really, really struggling by this time, and the guide consulted a doctor who was in another party at this particular campsite. And she said, no, she's too ill. You've got to keep going down because that's the only thing that can help here. So by this time, it was about 5 or 6 o'clock. And it was getting dark. So they packed up our bags and they tried to get Liz to ride one of the ponies that normally carries the bags. But she sort of toppled off the other side of the pony and it just wasn't going to work. So they sort of fashioned this kind of sling on their head and they took it in turns then to carry Liz down the mountain with her kind of on their back but resting in this sling. And although I say it was downhill, it was really rough and very up and down and it was dark and it was a long, long night. We got to a lower camp at about 11 o'clock, had a cup of tea and a biscuit, and they said we're still not low enough, we've got to keep going. So we carried on and on and on. And eventually we got to the lower camp about 3:30 in the morning. And this is the abbreviated version, so there was lots of incidents. One of the pony that came with us in the end carried the bags. He fell off the path and sort of descended into this valley and they managed to rescue him. And that's the pony the following morning. so basically it was a long, long night, but we made it to safety.
Thanks, Carrie. So a couple of questions go to me. First of all, actually just walking up in the Himalayas, that must say something about God's creation. It's not relevant to what we're talking about today, but I'd love to hear your reflections on that.
Well, no, I think it does. It makes you just think, how can people not think that there's a God when you're somewhere like that? I mean, it's beautiful here, but when you go somewhere like that, it takes your breath away, really, and you can't think that it's just some, I don't know, black hole type thing.
Yes, that's right. It wasn't created by chance, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. Now, that story, it's, you know, in a sense, there's that having to get down, that sense of having to endure and persevere and keep going, even though the path wasn't great and it was dark and all the troubles that are going on. Great story of actual real life walking, but how does that relate to your faith? Has that said anything for you and about your Christian life and walk?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, it's a bit like you've been saying before, the brochure of this holiday doesn't say that it's, you know, an easy walk in the park. It says it's difficult, and we know that our journey with God is not always going to be easy. And I think turning to his word is something that's really helped me. It just sustains us through these difficult times that we all go through. And meeting with other Christians and understanding that other people have gone through similar things and knowing how God's been with them and that he hasn't left them through even the darkest of times. So that's an encouragement.
Yeah, brilliant. And so that's something that's been true in your life.
Yes,
yeah,
it
brilliant.
Has.
Thank you, Carrie, for sharing that story with us. And if you want to know more about her adventures in the Himalayas, then I'm sure she'll be around for tea and coffee afterwards as well. So we've been thinking about keep on keeping on, thinking about perseverance and thinking about endurance. And I just want us to encourage us to reflect on what that might mean for us. What race is marked out for us? Where is Jesus calling us to go? And what are we putting in our rucksack as we go? Have we got the things that are going to help us and sustain us? And is there any garbage, rubbish that we can chuck out that is going to drag us down. Let's pray together. Father God, we say thank you that Jesus went before us and endured and set the example that you ask us to follow. And Lord, we do want to be those who run the race that you've set for us. Lord, help us to avoid the sin that's going to drag us down. Lord, help us to throw out those things that are going to hinder and entangle us. Lord, we ask you to show us what they may be for each one of us, that we can deal with them and take that burden away and replace it with those things that are good for our journey. And we say thank you for your love for each one of us. And Lord, we say thank you too for those things that are going on in our world. Lord, we do say thank you that we are blessed to be where we are. And the food and the housing and the sunshine and those things that we take so granted. Lord, thank you for those. And as we pray, Lord, we want to say thank you that Anne is coming home safely tomorrow. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with her and that she will continue to be restored towards full health. Lord, we pray too for Holiday Bible Club as we look for numbers of children and young people to come together and to fill the program. And Lord, for the team as well, for the various age groups and those that are behind the scenes. Lord, draw out those people that we need to make it run safely and well. And Lord, as we think of our own concerns here, we're aware of things still going on in the much wider world. Lord, our hearts go out to those that have been impacted by this awful train crash in India. And Lord, too, the ongoing war in Ukraine. Lord, those scenes that we still see on our televisions. Lord, thank you that you're a God who's interested in the small stuff, but the big stuff too. And Lord, we lift our concerns of our world and of our nation and of ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.